Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Way We Nerd, and it is a brand new week, brand new bunch of nerd news. We got some fun stuff to discuss tonight. Our favorite brother, well, at least my favorite brother, writing directing team out there, and there's a few of them now, so we can't just say there's one.
That's fair.
We're gonna talk about them later on tonight because they got a big movie coming out this weekend. But first off, let's do introductions. I am Daniel Villalobos. To the right of me,
Kyle Bound.
Right across from him,
Josh Moorhead.
And next to him,
Joshua Potter.
There we go, baby. All right, let's get right into the news. I think I'm going to start it off with something I just read on Heroic Hollywood. Tweeted out that Jonas Coron, the son of Alfonso Coron, and also the co-writer of the Academy Award winning,
Gravity.
Right? Mm-hmm. Gravity, is going to write and direct a new Zorro pick, which
yes,
I'm really excited about because I gotta say, I liked that Antonio Banderas, the first one at least. I can't remember the second one very well.
The second one wasn't bad.
The second one was bad.
Okay. I need to rewatch it.
Josh, disagree on that one.
No, we have to agree.
He has a white son in it that's like 10 that's like,
I don't want to be Zorro.
That's fair.
I want to dance.
That's fair.
His eyes is terrible.
So it's Footloose?
Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, I loved Mask of Zorro. I thought Antonio Banderas was a good,
Zorro.
Mask
of Zorro is badass.
What I'm going to throw to you guys right now is, and he has to be Latin, I don't care what anybody says, who would you cast as Zorro?
No one, because I think this movie's a bad idea.
Wait, this is going to be Zorro in space, though, right?
Okay, we're not going to talk to Moorhead anymore.
Well, no, because it's future Zorro.
Zorro in space, like Jason
Yeah, you didn't, that, I didn't think you realized that.
No, I just read that he was going to do a new Zorro.
It's future Zorro.
Okay,
originally, it was post-apocalyptic, and now it's set in a near future where it's like the machines are taking over.
Stop making me so far out. I'm so out.
Yeah.
No, actually,
wait, I was joking about Zorro.
No, it's future Zorro.
Oh my god. Oh, god. Okay, you know what? I wasn't.
So it's not Zorro.
Yeah.
Right, like on a cyborg horse or something.
Is he like riding a mechanical bull?
The future Spanish are trying to take over future California. Like it doesn't. I don't compute the future angle of it whatsoever. Because you know it's going to be like there's legends of my great great grandfather.
Yeah.
Banging
well,
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Okay. Well, I will say this. I will say this. I'm not as excited now as I once was. at the same time, I am a big fan of Alfonso, and if Jonas had as big a hand in Gravity as
it was his idea,
it was his idea. Okay, well then I think he's a talented guy, and
if anybody can make future Zorro a thing that might be okay, it's like him.
Yeah,
I just picture like Zorro in front of like a drugstore. And, like, it's the shot is, like, you know, you have, like, the sky behind him, and he's, like, going up and down. And then you pull out, and he's just on one of those things you put a quarter in, and it's a little pony that the kids ride up and down on.
Also, I guess right now the working title is Z, because that's futuristic.
Z for zombie?
Yeah.
That's going to confuse people.
Look, if Zorro's fighting the zombies, and he carves, like, Z into their forehead, okay, maybe we got something here.
And then stabs through to kill him?
He's going
to
have, like, a laser sword.
Yeah.
Not a lightsaber.
No.
Like,
completely different.
Yeah.
Well, according to Anakin, that's what they're called.
Lightsabers
laser
are cool.
According to George Lucas, he calls them laser swords, too. So, I don't
know.
Half
know
the
what
time.
His own thing is.
He calls that thing on his neck a chin.
We got into Star Wars. We got into Star Wars. Let's
there
move on.
Yeah. All right. Yes, into Star Wars.
What's next in the news, Daniel?
Well, you know what? We might as well stay with Star Wars. There is some news that Mr. Bound brought to our attention. Grand Admiral Thrawn is rumored to make an appearance on Star Wars Rebels. Now, for those of you who don't know who Grand Admiral Thrawn is, that means that you have not read any of the Expanded Universe novels, because he is a very huge part, even though I think he died some point.
Did he die at the end of the...
So there's spoilers. So there's the Timothy Zahn trilogy.
Which is amazing.
Then there's a duology set in the future. So the trilogy is, it's a few years after Jedi. The Empire is sort of inexplicably starting to win this galactic civil war again.
Yeah.
And we find out that it's this alien, this blue alien with red eyes, brilliant tactician, who's leading the remnants of the Empire. Yes, he is a Chiss. And so...
Chiss. They were good characters. I love those
they
characters.
Were.
In, it was a really clever, fun trilogy. And then, yes, he does die at the end.
Of that trilogy, right?
He's arguably...
Yes. And then later, there's a duology that takes place like 20 years later where Luke's found this planet.
The Hand of Thrawn.
And yes, and these clones of his are there.
Yeah.
And then there's also a prequel. Well, there's two prequels. There's The Outbound Flight, which is a prequel that sort of explains some of it. And then there's another one that's sort of early Thrawn that I think focuses on Leia and her discovering information about her mother. But none of that's canon anymore.
Yeah, obviously that's all in the Legends. Right,
yes. But sounds like season 3 of Rebels is going to bring in Thrawn as sort of an enemy for the fledgling rebellion.
A nice way to go because he's probably the most popular expanded universe Legends character outside of Mara Jade.
Yeah, Mara Jade would be number one. And I know I made a joke earlier when this was mentioned, like, oh, does that mean Mara Jade could be Rey's mother? That's probably not going to happen.
I just feel like they wouldn't dip that far in.
You're probably right. Yeah. You're probably right. But maybe it doesn't have to mean it could be a Mara Jade type character, someone who worked in the Empire that, you know.
Yeah.
What's interesting about having Thrawn on Rebels is that it would be like a prequel Thrawn. Like, it would be an ascending Thrawn.
Right.
They decide that they can do anything they want with him, because they can and already have him established. But I feel like that's a cheat.
Well, there's no reason not to do whatever the hell they want.
Right.
Because, I mean, there's no... Thrawn didn't come from the books at all. He was sort of this exiled... He was sort of in the ass end of the galaxy because he was an alien and not human, and the Empire's super racist and sexist and all of those things.
They are?
I know. They're less sexist now than they used to be.
That's true. Phasma.
There was another female stormtrooper.
And there were other, and the female other people. I can't remember what she did. She was like
there was that one
radar technician or something.
She was hot, logistics too.
Or something.
Yeah, that girl. Yeah, she's hot. I don't
know what you're talking about. Okay, what else we got news-wise?
Did you have some more
Well, I forgot. We mentioned we were maybe going to go over the Super Bowl trailers.
Yeah, where we got
that? Here. This is what we've got, and then we can chime in.
Okay.
We've got... Oh, sorry. Civil War.
That sound you hear is Josh hijacking the podcast.
Oh no! I thought you told me to do that. Did I miss here? No.
I asked Dan if there was any other news.
I'm sorry. No. Let's not talk about
that.
That's
hilarious. Again.
Let Morehead take over.
In 10 years, when the way we nerd splits, you'll know why.
Don't worry, Josh.
I misheard.
On our list of our agenda,
it's cool. We'll
do
a reunion tour.
I like Super Bowls. I like trailers.
Super Bowls.
I always get excited for the Super Bowl trailers.
Don't worry. We'll get into our Super Bowl predictions on that too. I know that's not super nerdy, but you know what? It's
some
Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl is my favorite cosplay convention.
Hell yeah!
Being popular.
So I just want to say one last thing on that whole Star Wars thing, though, because there are people out there that are whining and bitching and complaining and like, oh, they're going to borrow too much from the expanded universe. First of all, expanded universe is wonderful and it's freaking huge. So even they might borrow from it on accident. That's how big it is. And the only thing I have to say to those people, shut up. And I'll just leave it at that.
Seriously.
Shut up. So,
thus concludes the part of our podcast where Dan tells somebody to shut up.
My only rebuttal to shut up is that it's like narratively lazy to continue this new trail. If we got Mara Jade,
but all they're borrowing is character names. They're changing things, like with Kylo Ren, they're calling him Ben.
He's basically Jason. But I mean,
but he's not the same exact thing as Jason.
Okay, I'm gonna stop this now.
Yeah.
Because one, this could go on for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours.
I couldn't talk about
and
Star
two,
Wars for hours.
And two, we could do this as like a side pod. Yeah. So if you want to see this side pod, you know.
All right. You know what? Yeah.
We should call it Legends.
I want to talk about Super Bowl trailers.
All right.
I want to talk about Westerns. Let's fight for it.
No, let's keep going around.
Okay.
Let's keep going around. All right. So.
Worst podcast ever.
The next news I want to discuss is the announcement of the Flash and Supergirl crossover. Now, this is a lot bigger than you think, because basically what's going to happen here is, and they've said this already, Supergirl and Flash don't exist on the same Earth, in the same dimension, or however you...
They're not in the same dimension.
Yeah, they're playing with... The DC has established that there is a multiverse. The movies belong in one universe.
Yep.
Flash and Arrow belong in one universe, and now Supergirl's in another universe. This is smart because somebody told me... I thought, why not be in the same universe? It's like, there's no way Superman exists in the Flash Arrow world because... Is that you, Morehead?
It was me. Yeah, there's no way if he existed, they wouldn't have talked about him.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's very, very true. So I like that idea, and this kind of... brings up a little bit of a spoiler if you guys haven't seen last night's Flash, turn this off right now. But it's not going to spoil too much. But at the end of the episode, they tease Barry going to Earth 2, which they've been talking about a lot in Flash now because that's where the new Harry Wells is from, and Zoom and Jay Garrick. They all come from Earth 2. which I love the fact that DC is concluding the multiverses in all their worlds, because and what I mean by this is a big announcement is that means that we very well could see Barry Allen and Barry Allen, I'm talking Grant Gustin and Ezra Miller sharing the screen someday in some way.
It would be pretty trippy.
Yeah.
It would be. And this, I mean, it's all based on how good DC does with their movies. And if the Wonder Woman trailer is any indication, these movies are all going to be fantastic. I've already talked about much Batman like versus third Superman. Of them. Some of them are going to be fantastic, but they're at least getting the right people like to make them.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, definitely. That one.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's exciting future as far as the DC universe goes. But anyway. I'm very excited about a Flash Supergirl crossover because I love all four of those shows. Actually, all five DC shows that are out there right now. I love Gotham. I love Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, Legends. All fantastic. They're doing me right.
The only thing I want to see happen, and I think a lot of people feel this way too, but I want DC to keep doing DC's thing and not try to be Marvel. Because I feel like there's always going to be a competition between DC and Marvel.
Yeah.
Just because that's how it's always been. But some of the best qualities about Marvel don't work in the DC universe and vice versa. Agreed. So I'm a Marvel guy, but I love DC characters and I want to see DC succeed as much as Marvel. I just want them to keep doing their thing, which they're doing really well. They do TV phenomenally well.
They do. And not saying Marvel doesn't. I mean,
No.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was kind of uneven that first bit. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
What's weird to me is that they're mirrors of each other. Like the DC cinematic universe is really dark, and the TV universe is really light and goofy.
Yeah.
The Marvel film universe is kind of light and fun and colorful, and the Marvel TV universe is like, holy fuck.
I didn't even think about that. That's great.
Yeah.
Damn, Josh, thank you for bringing that up. I didn't even realize that.
I try to think maybe once or twice a week.
At least
that was one of
them. Maybe you should add a third time because you've got some good thoughts.
You timed this podcast very well.
Set some time aside to think some more.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I mean, maybe that's why people didn't dig Age of Ultron as much, even though it still was a highly successful movie. Most of the critics liked it. Most of the people liked it. There was a few quibbles here and there, but the quibbles were, I think they were about, it went a little darker. Age of Ultron is a little bit darker than the other Marvel movies.
Well,
it's also a little bit like 25 minutes too short.
I was just going to say that
I feel like the mistake it made is that it went so much darker with its marketing, and then the final product wasn't necessarily that dark.
Well, I mean,
but I think a lot of people didn't like it as much because it felt inconsequential.
Well, it may be in the sense, but
I like. I
don't know. I know you.
Yeah.
Like it. Yeah. But I think it comes back to that whole thing that the people who are complaining about it don't like. Or at least they don't realize that they don't like that Marvel movies are episodic. Like these things are all connected for a reason.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that we're going to the movies to see cinematic episodes with people. Like it's like going to watching TV with a bunch of fucking people. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it'll continue this way. And when 50 years down the line, when people watch all these movies together, those complaints will be gone. All of them. I guarantee it. Like there'll be a few here and there, but.
Yeah,
it'll be exhilarating because, like, when we're showing our kids these movies, you can go from one episode to the other. You can binge watch
because,
the Marvel Universe.
Because and this is a perfect example because my roommate or my ex roommate, he's not into these movies as much. He's not even into going to the movies that much. And before Avengers: Age of Ultron came down, we sat down and we watched every Marvel movie, and he loved it. Like he was so excited for Age of Ultron because of it. And he was like, I want to do that again. Like, he wants to, like, he doesn't do that. Like, he's the kind of guy who sits in a movie theater and thinks, oh my God, all the things I could be doing with this 2 hours of my life.
This is a quick sidebar, and we can count it as my little
blur. The sidebar to the sidebar.
Yeah,
sidebar.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'm done with this part.
I forgot we were already sidebarring.
We sidebar a lot.
Did you guys hear how they're doing Planet Hulk?
I didn't. I thought they would completely abandon that idea. They said
no.
Okay, it was rumored so much they retrofitted it into Thor 3. In Thor 3, that's how they meet on their road trip.
Yeah,
is that?
That's me clapping out
some
loud.
Some bad
folks.
Shit happens on Asgard. Thor gets booted off Asgard, lands on this gladiator planet, wakes up, and they throw him in an arena, and he doesn't have meow. because the bad person, because Kate Blanchett.
Yeah, you don't say it as cute. You don't say it as cute as Kat Dennings, but that was still
meow. And then, so this is going to be so cool, and I hope this is true.
that's being reported as true, is that he, even though he doesn't have the hammer, he beats through everyone they throw in the arena, and they're like, there's still one left. And he's like, I don't give a shit. And then Hulk walks in. They're like, he's our current champion.
God, my eyes just glassed over, and I just got a nerd boner the size.
And then they set off on their galactic journey to get back to Asgard and Blanchett.
That is so fun! I can't wait for that movie now.
Cool,
yeah.
I can't wait because I know some people were a little disappointed with Thor: Dark World. I thought it felt more like Thor than the first one.
I would agree.
You know,
I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, and, but I mean, I've read Thor comics, so that might be the difference. Where
it's a good movie, it just didn't connect for whatever reason, like Winter Soldier did. Like Winter Soldier,
took off
almost more than it should have.
Winter Soldier is one of the it's the top tier.
I think
of
Marvel
movies.
I think
like,
it is
Thor
the
is
best
probably
written.
Thor 2 is probably second tier, third tier. Yeah, it's up there with Iron Man and the Avengers. Captain America 2 was bloody fantastic. And Civil War looks awesome, obviously. We've seen that trailer many times now. But it's got a lot to live up to, I got to say. If you're comparing it just to Captain America movies. Because the first one was so much fun, being a period piece and what it was. And then the second one was just, it was a spy thriller. And it was it was a showcase for Black Widow, which is, they should have just called it Captain America and Black Widow. Like, they should have. Like, they should give it, like, I love that they're giving the Wasp equal billing with Ant-Man in the next movie. That's awesome.
It is.
So it's not Ant-Man featuring the Wasp. It's Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. Well, we'll move on from the comic book movies. And before we get to the Super Bowl trailers, there's one more thing I want to talk about. Did everybody see X-Files Episode 3?
Yes.
Best.
Yes.
Mulder and Scully meet the were-creature.
Meet a monster. I think it was just called, just like...
Meet a monster?
Meet the were-beast or were-monster or something.
It was the best of the three so far.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very standalone, by the way. Very standalone.
Yeah, and it was just, like, that was one of my favorite episodes of television of anything that I've watched in a very
long time.
It's
so well written.
So good.
Yeah, it was so well written.
So much fun.
It's very funny, but it says so much accurately about the human experience.
Oh my God, dude.
And ironically, and like, thematically, it was just off the charts.
I mean, because this one I don't want to spoil too much because it's really something you should watch because it's...
And you would have never had to see an episode of X-Files
That could have been a movie. That should have been the X-Files movie, not that crazy priest one they did with Billy Connolly.
I
love Billy Connolly, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I heard it was terrible.
Oh, God. It's so bad. The movie throws you off right in the beginning when Mulder and Scully wake up in bed together. Yes, everybody wants them together, but it still felt weird.
Yeah, because you weren't let into it.
Yeah, it was just like, it was like a shock. You're like, oh, why are they rolling over and holding each other in bed? That's kind of, oh, wait, they're together now.
But
you like almost forgot.
Rhys Darby and Kumail Nanjiani are just great as guest stars, and it's just hilarious.
Yes. Oh, man.
So much fun. And
who are they again? Like, who are
they? Rhys Darby was in...
No, I know which characters they were in the show, but...
Rhys Darby was on Flight of the Conchords. He was their
manager. That's right.
Yeah.
And Kumail Nanjiani is one of the coders on...
He's Meltdown.
He's in the Nerdist.
Yeah.
He's on Portlandia all the time.
He's
the voice of Prismo on Adventure Time.
There you go.
He's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, he's really just lately, over the last 2 years, he's blown up a lot.
I was on stage with him once and he asked me who Susan B. Anthony was and I froze and I couldn't
remember. All I can tell you, she's on a coin? I have a dollar with her on it?
What I loved about this episode, though, is that it's essentially Mulder having a midlife crisis, and all of his beliefs are shaken.
Yes. Skeptic Mulder is so much fun.
It's a lot of fun, and believing Scully. Like, they flip places. It's fantastic.
And Scully has a line in the movie, and I'm stealing this from a review I read of the review, a review I read of the episode, unfortunately, but I agree with the reviewer. She said, I forgot how much fun these cases can be. And as she's saying it over a dead body with the brains falling out.
Yeah.
And the banter they have, they're like, I mean, some people, oh my gosh, a dead body there. I went, shut the hell up. That's not what it's a fun moment because it just brings us back to all those great episodes of the X-Files that were standalones that were somewhat comedic, but had something to say, like Josh said.
Yeah.
Like, and it does. I mean, I really don't want to spoil it, but the way it ends is so perfect, and I absolutely loved it. It was so
For an episode of a show like about weird shit, and the episode itself was about a monster, is like, unlike Anomalisa, it was the most human thing I've seen in a long
yes.
time.
Yes, amen, amen, yeah. brother. And Duchovny knocked that performance out of the park. He was so good in that
yeah.
episode.
Oh, yeah. It made it reminded me of episodes, the two that stood out would be Jose Chung's From Outer Space, forget what season that's in, and Howard Graves' Final Repose. Mm-hmm. Those are both more
I think
comedic,
the dude that wrote this
episodes.
Episode wrote that, those two.
I would believe it.
He definitely wrote the Final Repose. I know that.
Yeah.
I know that.
Well, apparently this episode was originally, or this concept, he wrote a script for this episode for Night Stalker back in the day.
Oh, man.
And they never produced it, and he sort of rewrote it for this.
Night Stalker was a great show, the old one and the revamp.
What was the Night Stalker? That sounds familiar. I can't think of what it
is. It's basically a reporter tracking down weird shit. It was like pre-X-Files, yeah. Yeah.
Always wondered what happened to Chris Carter after X-Files ended, because he didn't do anything.
He did Millennium.
Yeah, but that was during X-Files.
And then he did a couple X-Files movies.
Yeah,
he did a couple pilots over there.
Oh, he did that one, Dark
probably.
Skies, but that didn't.
Well,
he just didn't.
Yeah. He just didn't have to. You know, there's some.
That's true. He doesn't have to work.
True. Just yeah. cash out, and yeah. you know.
Yeah, more power to him. Good for him. Good for him. If he wants to come back to the well every once in a while, and he can get David Duchovny and Gillian Anders together, I will be in every time. Yeah. Every
time. That's the only reason, from my understanding, that's the reason this was only six episodes.
That's all they could do. That's all they could do. Which is fine though. It's enough. Like I do like the British model. I do like the six to 12 episodes a season.
Whenever you can get them.
Whenever you can get them. Yeah. They never cancel their shows. They're just saying we might come back. You know, we might
like,
not.
Like Curb.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Basically, what I understand.
Like once
Curb,
I have a good enough idea, I'll come back.
And HBO's told Larry, that's fine.
Yeah.
They're totally fine with that. Yeah. So and Curb, I've heard rumblings.
Because he's hot again right now.
He is.
Oh, yeah.
He is. I've heard rumblings. I've heard he got it. He has an idea. So hopefully that comes to fruition. All right.
Oh, you know what he did? Sorry. Just Chris Carter. He did the Amazon pilot. It didn't go to series, I don't think. Or it did go to series.
Hand
I don't know.
God?
After. The After.
I don't know what that is.
It's about like these eight. It's like basically the apocalypse is happening. Huh. And it's like these eight survivors that end up holed up in like a house in like the
Hollywood. I remember hearing about that.
Oh,
yeah.
And there's some like demon creature there, and
so it's like
it's
this
pretty
is
fun.
The end,
the
but
pilot.
Like, but like
real.
A serious, yeah,
like yeah,
yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, then moving on from the X-Files, sounds like all four of us are still in for the last three. And we're getting to right where Mr. Moorhead so eagerly wanted to get. Let's talk about Super Bowl trailers!
Let's do it!
Who's just the only
you know what? One more thing. No, I'm kidding.
I'm just playing with you, Josh. I love you.
I have...
Let's hear it, man.
Well, no, it's... I don't even know how important it is.
By the way,
it's just,
let me tell you how much I love Josh Moorhead, and I'm going to tweet about this afterwards. The dude walked in today to work, and he handed me a toy of Batfleck. And said, welcome to the team, brother, because in case anybody doesn't know, I am now on the Pretty Little Liars writing staff. Not a writer. I'm an assistant to one of the producers, but I love being over here, and thank you, Josh, for that toy. I'm going to play with it all night.
It's like the writing / toy collecting
staff. It is. It is. My desk is overrun. I've been at my desk for too long.
If you walk at Kyle's desk, you swear you're in a fallout shelter.
Spoiler alert, the neighbors in this office building, we also caught them loading in boxes and boxes and boxes like Santa's workshop of Batman, like Lego toys.
Oh my god, so I wanted to play so bad. And
we are in a very fortunate work environment.
Both Josh and I offered to help these ladies, and they so did not want to let us help.
Yeah. They saw it in our eyes. But
anyway, Super Bowl trailer. Sorry.
It's just, I don't know. The Super Bowl is a huge cultural event. I read a great article today about like that ranked the halftime shows of all time.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And I just. I've always anticipated it. I think I got into football because I always knew I had to watch the Super Bowl, but part of the reason I wanted to was for the commercials and for the trailers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, I still remember, like, holding a Subway sandwich and seeing footage from The Matrix Reloaded for the first time and being like, whoa!
Yeah.
So, I don't know if we're going to get anything that
that was
big.
Just after eating the Subway sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm kidding. We love Subway. Sponsor us.
Foot-long of meatballs.
Yeah.
So we're getting Batman versus Superman, Keanu.
Wait, how many more trailers can they give? Stop giving us Batman versus Superman trailers. Just release the damn movie.
I'm super excited about Keanu, too.
Keanu, in case you guys don't know what Keanu is the new movie by Key and Peele. What are their real names, their first names?
Keegan-Michael Key and...
Michael? No.
No, and something Peele.
Jordan Peele. Number one, if you haven't seen Key and Peele, and unfortunately I haven't seen the entire series, but every skit I've seen, I've laughed my absolute ball hair off.
It's so funny.
And this Keanu movie, it's literally about them.
Just, you know what? Watch the trailer.
Okay.
Yeah, watch the trailer.
Yeah, just watch the trailer. All right. It's worth the review.
There's a moment you're not expecting it.
Okay. And when I'm saying Keanu, it is his name, Keanu Reeves. That's how it's spelled. So go watch the trailer.
Yes.
You absolutely love it.
Yes. Okay.
Josh, continue.
Or watch the Super Bowl and you'll see the trailer.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Continue.
Eddie the Eagle, which is weird, because we were talking about this earlier. I believe it's a $5 million buy this year for 30 seconds of airtime.
And that's about what that movie cost him.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, you're basically doubling your budget on the Eagle, but Eddie the Eagle.
Maybe they got a deal because they're NBC. Is it NBC? Is it on NBC?
It's CBS. Oh, but this is what I read, that the Eddie the Eagle trailer is going to be not as much footage, but like a bunch of NFL stars being like, yeah, they show me the movie and it's really great.
Okay.
It's got to be like Rob.
So there's probably some kind of cross.
The movie looks
probably some kind
really
of cross.
Good.
You don't have to do that.
It's
yeah.
So show the trailer. Like if you're going to show the trailer, the trailer and everybody can get excited.
But
it's awesome.
I can understand where this is because you have to also understand that
a lot of these
people that are watching the Super Bowl would not normally go see a movie called Eddie and the Eagle about an English skier.
It's a sports movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't go see McFarlane USA or.
Yeah, but are they even going to believe like?
Rob
a
bunch.
Yeah, are they going to bring Gronkowski going?
They didn't go see.
I don't know. I like that guy from the Kings.
They didn't go see Concussion.
Nobody went and saw Concussion.
But that was about their sport.
Concussion is not good.
No.
I haven't seen it.
One, it's not that great.
Punches.
Two, I will admit readily, I don't want to see Concussion because I don't want Christmas to be ruined.
Okay.
Don't tell me that Santa isn't real.
Concussion isn't really a sports movie. It's an evil corporation movie.
The Jungle Book, Through the Looking Glass. Civil War, I think we already said.
Anything new?
Well, that's the thing. Independence Day, Turtles 2, I'm excited about.
Yeah.
Deadpool, which is weird. You're a week out, but they're going to drop Deadpool.
It'll probably be a fourth wall breaking cool commercial where he talks about the Super Bowl and shit.
Yeah, so a lot of it is going to be new footage from stuff we've already seen, probably. But the one new thing is Bourne 5. It'll be the first glimpse of
anything
Bourne.
That's nice. Exciting news. I didn't even know they were shooting already.
Yeah, true.
Is Paul Greengrass directing that again?
Yes.
He's back? Okay, good.
And it could be, like, the first time we saw any footage of, like, Captain America. They may not have shot anything yet except for whatever they needed to do this teaser.
Well,
you know, it could just be him on a rooftop, like, forgot what I was doing again. Just like
the Bourne Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited about the Super Bowl anyway. I mean, I like football, and I really think. I mean, it is a huge event. I mean, it's one of the biggest events in this country. I think we need to take Chris Columbus's day away because fuck that guy, rapist murderer.
Yeah.
And let's make the Monday after
the
Super Bowl a holiday because. Who doesn't drink and party during the Super Bowl? Even if you don't like football, you're going to a Super Bowl
party.
The
weird thing is,
everyone
thinks the next Monday is President's Day. We should just bang President's Day back a week.
Yeah, exactly. You don't even
call
it Super Bowl Day.
Call it football President's Day.
Football President's Day. If football was around with our founding fathers, they would have been fans.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I feel like we should make Election Day a holiday.
Yeah.
I mean,
before post-Super Bowl Day.
But we don't want
people
to vote.
No, more people
watch
Super Bowl than watch the election. Check
the
ratings.
That's why our country is the way
more
it is.
More people watch the Super Bowl than bother to vote.
Yes.
But
that's true.
You don't vote. You just open your nachos and go, what? They elected him.
Yeah. Preaching the choir, brother. I don't vote. Anyway.
who are we rooting for?
I exercise my right not to.
Let's
anyway,
go around the tail.
Let's go around
the tail.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry. No, we're talking about Super Bowl.
Let's not get political here.
They do feel oddly conservative and Democrat.
I'll go in and beat myself out.
No, that's okay. You can mention it. That's a whole can of worms.
No, it's funnier if I bleep it.
That is true.
Yeah.
That's the point.
So
are you
going to
also bleep that?
No.
Okay.
All right.
No, they can know I bleeped.
Okay.
Potter, give me your pick. Who's going to win?
Who's going to win or who do I want to win? I think the Panthers are a hell of a team, clearly. They've shown that all season long.
One hell of a defense. He's a real deal.
They've been the team to beat, but I would love to see the Broncos win. Just because they're kind of the underdogs going in.
Do it.
So I'll probably root for the Broncos, knowing that the Panthers will probably pull out the win. But whatever.
If the Broncos were to win, there would be a movie made about it someday because it would be one of the most unlikely wins, like, ever. It would be like, you know, the miracles
the Miracle on Ice or whatever. Yeah. Except not as inspiring, because who gives a shit?
That's fair. But
like, that was such it's like movie. It's like it David versus Goliath. Oh, if David was blind, deaf, born. Mute, and in a wheelchair.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like on paper, yeah. There's no way. There's no way the Broncos win this game, and I'm also rooting for the Panthers. It would take one of the best defenses performance we've ever seen,
man,
versus one of the great wilting performances we've ever seen, like Cam Newton going out there and just being castrated.
He'd be wearing his brown pants.
Yeah.
Kyle?
That's fair.
So that's two votes for the Panthers winning, by the way.
Either the Panthers win in a blowout, or weird stuff happens and it stays close and somehow the Broncos pull it out. Those are the only two things that can happen.
Which could happen.
What did you mention earlier?
But it's not gonna. What Panthers are gonna win?
Kyle or Josh, one of you mentioned
I'm betting my every on the Panthers.
Okay, so that's three for the Panthers. Yes. One of you guys said earlier today that something about Peyton Manning statistics.
Oh, well, he's
the worst quarterback to ever play in a Super Bowl.
Statistically.
People say defense wins championships. Broncos have the best defense. Sure. But
Panthers are number two.
Panthers has to at least show up.
They have a terrible offense, and the Panthers have the number two defense, the most opportunistic defense in the league, and the number one offense.
Look,
it's just too much.
I think it's definitely 100% David and Goliath. But the thing about it is, remember this, and I know the Patriots aren't as good as the Panthers, but nobody gave the Broncos a chance to beat the Patriots when they were at home, for crying out loud.
That's fair.
I gotta say, I'm happy we got to see Manning Brady one more time.
Yeah.
Because that is probably it. Because he told Bill Belichick this might be my last rodeo. And it's got to be Peyton. Even if Peyton loses, he's still going to be considered one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, regardless of the aberration that was his statistics this year and a little bit of last. But this is one thing, and Brady has the overall record against Manning. He's won, I think it was 17-6 or something.
It's absurd.
But on the biggest stage that these two could possibly face each other, Manning is 3-1. He's gotten to the Super Bowl three times out of the four times he's faced Brady in the AFC Championship. AFC Championship. It wasn't a playoff game, it was AFC Championship.
But
which I thought was kind of crazy.
You know, this time, and I say this more to credit the defense than to discredit Peyton, but that was the Von Miller Bowl. And the difference is that they got to Tom Brady, but that's because he's a 38-year-old in the pocket quarterback. They're going to have a much harder time.
The Patriots outside of Tom Brady are a good team, but not a great team.
No.
And I understand what you're saying there, but you can't take away the fact that Peyton did throw two of those touchdown passes, and the dude doesn't run, and he made a 12-yard run for a first down that was hugely important. So, yes, the defense won that game,
but
Peyton didn't lose it.
But he tried to. How many interceptions did the Patriots drop? At least three.
And it was oddly like he's not going to have a zero interception performance in the Super Bowl. And when he made that 12-yard run, he looked like John Goodman making a 12-yard.
He did, but he still made it. That's the point. Yeah. Sometimes you can pull. You can go into yourself and you can pull out something and. Everybody around who knows me knows how much I hate the Los Angeles Dodgers because I'm a San Francisco Giants fan. Mm-hmm. However, when Kirk Gibson hit that home run in the World Series, that made me believe, holy crap, even old broken down men can do anything.
And
I'm not saying, and baseball is one at bat and it's all this, yeah. But I'm just saying, you never know. That's why we watch sports.
You never know. But I mean, and I think we all agree that like there is a scenario in which weird shit goes down, and the Broncos win. And not like illegal or any of that.
No, that's what I'm saying. Peyton could win because he's full of HGH.
That too.
So as long as he hulks out.
But
that's
it's
the
okay.
Thing. That's the thing. He hasn't used any of it. His wife's been hoarding it. He's using it all right now.
Exactly.
But that's okay because in football, that's okay. Steroids are okay in football.
Just
get everybody out there. When you go do steroids in football, you get suspended for it.
Speaking of great.
They get mad at you for getting caught. That's what they get mad at you for.
Speaking of great brothers, like the Mannings.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on to the meat of our story, because Josh has got to go get his workout in.
Oh, my goodness.
So the
I thought you worked out last week, Josh.
Let's work out last month. Anyway, so the top story for us tonight is the best, in my opinion, brother writing directing team. The Coen brothers have a new movie releasing this weekend called Hail Caesar. And holy crap, I was excited about this when I just read a little blip.
Sorry, really quick. I think the Farrelly brothers are very upset at you right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are the Farrelly brothers?
Peter and Bobby Farrelly. I'm joking, but they did.
I am also joking. I am also joking, but what happened to them? They have disappeared completely.
Didn't they make another...
Every
they
movie
did Dumb and
they made Dumb and Dumber
they did
2
Dumb and Dumber again.
The past five movies they made
is that what
were,
it's called?
Were
like, I'm sorry, Stuck on You was perfect.
But it, I mean, like, financially,
no, it wasn't okay. Perfect.
The last movie I remember that I liked of theirs was Me, Myself, and Irene.
And even that wasn't a success.
No, okay, well, back to the Coen brothers. Yeah. Sorry,
back to the Coen brothers. No, but that's actually a good pop. We should think about that. Brothers and or teammate
directing
teams, directing duos. Yeah. All right. Anyway, so the Coen brothers.
Like George Lucas and his wife.
Yes. So the Coen brothers have a new movie this week with called Hail Caesar, starring George Clooney, Channing Tatum, Jonah Hill. Scarlett Johansson. Oh, my God. I love her so much. And there's a litany of other stars in it. And Ralph Fiennes, you've seen the trailer, he's probably the best part of that trailer. And there's a lot of good parts in that trailer. So that saying that is a huge compliment to Ralph.
Yes, if you look at our February movie post, which will go up around the same time as this podcast, so it should be up now if you listen to it, there is we put the trailer up there, the second trailer for this, which is Ralph Fiennes trying to get an actor with a very big southern drawl to say a very simple, well, not so simple phrase, and it is hilarious. It's like 2 minutes of just him trying to get him to say it.
It's awesome. And the funny thing is, because the movie, it's very classic Hollywood, that bit. And the movie is about that. It's about, I think it's post-war Hollywood or
it's
pre-war?
50s. 50s Hollywood.
Post-war Hollywood, when all the ADs and all the actors and all the screen, and all of them came back from fighting in the war, and which is a little note here. If you're ever on a movie or TV set and you hear a bunch of military commands, that's where it came from, because of all the guys that used to work were in the military came back from the war, and they brought all their lingo to it. So, just a little side thing. But the Coen brothers, I have been a fan since I was 10 years old. 1987, I remember, I think it was on HBO, I saw this movie of Nicolas Cage with a stocking on his face stealing diapers.
Son, you got a panty on your head.
A movie called Raising Arizona, and I still think it's... And Nicolas Cage has become kind of a joke now, but there was a period where he was one of Hollywood's finest actors and biggest box office draws. But to me, Raising Arizona is his best movie, and it's one of his earliest. It's so good and so funny.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't seen that one again, you should go back and revisit it. But what I was going to bring around the table now is favorite Coen Brothers movie, Potter.
Oh man, God. Okay, let me give you my top five currently, because I feel like Hail Caesar will be in there.
That's how much we love the Coen Brothers.
So we're going to have nothing to talk about when it gets to us.
No.
How the fuck do you have?
I like more.
You guys,
Coen Brothers movies ready to go.
There's no fighting in the war room.
How do you have five Coen Brothers movies ready to go and you've seen nine movies in 2015?
That's fair.
10. He saw 10.
He put 9 on his top 10 list.
There were 10 in there.
Oh, you saw a 10th one?
No, there were 10.
There's always 10. Okay, let's see your top 5.
What is your favorite? No, just your favorite. Because
favorite
need to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me your favorite.
It's a toss-up between True Grit and Fargo.
Oh, those are two really fucking great movies. One a dark comedy and one a Western, which was amazing.
Phenomenal. Western.
I know. And it's based off a John Wayne movie, which is a very highly celebrated Western. But this one might have been better.
It was
the original.
It paid homage and everything, but it didn't. I didn't feel like a remake. It was a good remake, but without being a remake.
It felt like its own thing. I agree. And Fargo gave birth to a fantastic television show. If you guys haven't seen it, I've only seen the first season though. But wow, what a show! I need to watch the second season. All right, those are two good flicks. What about you, Morehead?
I don't know if it's necessarily my favorite, but I feel like it's
one you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, we'll do underrated.
Yeah, do favorite and then we'll do underrated.
Do favorite here. And if it's one that's already
mentioned, I still want to go with it.
Okay. Go for it.
a serious man. I don't know if you guys.
I was going to mention that one. Yeah. That's like the one movie of theirs I saw that I wasn't a big fan of.
Oh, I like that movie so much.
Maybe it was the religious angle or whatever. I don't. There was just something about the whole thing that really.
It's so depressing but funny. How do you do that?
It was depressing, but I was never depressed.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The movie, I was lighthearted. Even, well, I mean, that last. The last line in the movie is like the most.
I can't remember the last line. Just
he finds out he has cancer.
Oh right!
Yeah. It's just like everything that's going bad. This Serious Man is about everything that's going bad in this dude's life. It's basically, but supposedly the critics were saying it's anti-Semitic when the Coen Brothers like we're Jewish.
Yeah, so, one of them self-hating Jewish.
Yeah, one I guess, but it's not anti-Semitic at all. And but it's just it's just this guy who just has the worst friggin' luck, right? I mean,
yeah. Sometimes they, you know, they obviously hit him out of the park, and sometimes they whiff. But to me, that movie is a good example of how they're just not afraid to do weird things and take chances. Because that movie is about a dude, I think, again in the '50s, just like living his normal life, and bad things happen to him. But the first 10 minutes is like this short film about like a Jewish golem or something.
Yeah, that's and you're right. Just like, I forgot about
and
that.
You're waiting the whole movie to be like.
What did that?
Somebody's going to talk to him about that fable, and you got tied all together. Nope.
No, it's just kind of there.
They're like, here's a little. You know how Pixar does little cartoons before their movies? Here's ours, Golem. Like, yeah.
But it's just because like the funny thing is that towards the end of the movie, like everything's going wrong for this character, and then I can't remember what actor is. Is it? It's not the guy from Bridge of Spies, is it? No.
No.
What is the guy?
The only thing I know, the only other thing I know he played is like the cool alien in Men in Black 3 that travels in time.
Holy crap! He's had a big career, obviously.
I didn't see that one.
But anyway, maybe he's a stage actor. I don't know. But he everything is going bad for this guy, and then towards the end, things start kind of going okay, and then he has cancer. Like it's just like one of those. It's just like. I don't know. The Coen Brothers, like they, I really like that.
Well, isn't it that he's faced with a series of moral choices. And he keeps making the right one regardless of the bad shit happening to him.
Yeah.
And then at the last moment when he finally caves a little bit, he gets cancer. And then, spoiler, the last shot of the movie is like a giant tornado barreling in on him.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that part.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, no. Okay.
But it's Kyle? Very weird. Yeah.
Kyle?
I'm going to have to, because certain ones have been mentioned, Big Lebowski is
what I'm going
to
go
with. Oh, yeah.
That's too easy.
Lebowski.
That was the one I was going to keep out.
Fuck you.
That's too easy,
why
man.
Why did you keep that out?
Because we were going to mention it, but that's too easy to call your favorite. No. It's everyone's favorite. It should be everyone's favorite.
Then we what's don't have wrong with it being my favorite?
Right. Yeah. All right. All right.
Hey, fair enough. Dude abides, man. The dude abides.
It is.
Fucking A.
Fair enough.
After this, I'm going to go to the In-N-Out.
I apologize. I apologize. I apologize.
What's your favorite, Dan?
Big Lebowski, but I wasn't going to say that.
You can still say it?
I can't because Kyle already said it.
Well, that's why I'm mad. Go for the deep cut like I did so I didn't have
you
to
did
say
go so, deep well, cut. No, that was going to be my next question is now that we've established that Lebowski's
obviously
all the time.
Right, yeah.
What is your sort of your secret, you know, favorite lesser known or less
Well, Serious Man would have been the one I would have went with. I'm agreeing with Moorhead there, but I really also liked The Man Who Wasn't There.
I always wanted to see that.
It's
never
a black
did.
And white flick.
It's
with,
a noir.
It's a noir film with Billy Bob Thornton,
uh-huh.
And it's different than any Coen Brothers movie ever made. And it's I can't. You guys have to see it. I mean, it's just so well acted, so well written, so well directed. I mean, it's a staple of a Coen Brothers movie. All of those things usually happen. It's got a little bit of funniness, but it's serious. But yeah, I like that one. I like that one a lot.
You know, it's weird. None of us mentioned, based on how excited we are about Hail Caesar, that none of us brought up Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
I was going to mention that one too. I really like that one too. That's the thing is, like Coen Brothers, like there's very few. I mean, you say they have some misses, but even their misses aren't that. Like Intolerable Cruelty is probably my least favorite of theirs, mm-hmm. with George Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah.
But there's still moments in that movie that I really, really enjoy.
They're
so
fantastic.
It's even their worst one, in my opinion, is still something I could watch again.
Yeah,
you know, I could watch all of their movies again very easily, and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, Oh Brother, Where Art
Thou? They're always interesting.
They are, and this one, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Is a good one to mention because it feels tonally like Hail Caesar.
Yeah, it's part of their unofficial idiot trilogy.
What's the first one?
Oh Brother, Intolerable Cruelty, because that's the courtroom one with Clooney, right?
Yeah,
and this is the third of.
Right. And Clooney's the idiot. Yeah, he's an idiot in all three. That's very, very true.
I like
Dapper Dan.
Two thirds of of O Brother, Where Art Thou? There was a point where the Odyssey part of it just sort of
went too far
apart for me. Yeah, yeah. I think around the flood.
Man, I have to go back and watch all the Coen Brothers movies again.
But it was interesting. It was fun. I love it. Yeah. I love the first two thirds of it, and the last third, it doesn't. I don't dislike it. It just sort of the metaphor just sort of collapses in on itself at that point.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
And the Coen Brothers are coming off. I don't know if they got nominated, but they're coming off Bridge of Spies, which was all in our at least top 20, if not top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see Bridge of Spies, Potter?
No.
You didn't see that one yet.
They've never done anything.
I will. Don't worry.
I know you will.
They've never done anything animated, right?
They got time now.
Because I'd love to
have
see
all the
that.
Time.
Dude,
good call, bro. Yeah, they haven't done an animated film.
No.
They haven't. Now, if they would have done Animal Lisa, it would probably been a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about you, Josh? What's your sort of, what do you guys think is like an underrated?
Well, he brought our brother. Unless you want to do another one.
I guess A Serious Man would have been my underrated.
Yeah. What about you?
Spies Like Us. That's the one you forget about. It's Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd.
That's the Coen Brothers?
Pretty sure.
They definitely didn't direct it.
It's,
are you thinking about Burn After Reading?
Ooh, I forgot about that one. That's a great movie, too. That was one of the two
I had to mention.
But it's listed. Never mind. It's listed with their stuff, so that's why I was confused, too.
Maybe they, like,
but I'm pretty sure that's before their time.
Yeah. Maybe that's...
Well, it could have been very early in their career.
No, but they're not even listed as writing.
It's definitely not. So
take it back.
I mean, it's definitely an underrated and unknown film of theirs.
It is. It definitely is.
Maybe they script doctored, but that was really young.
No,
very
they
young.
Don't.
They did.
The other one we didn't mention though is No Country for Old Men, which is also
good.
A great one.
No Country for Old Men is Oscar nominated.
Yeah,
all over the place. Yeah. That movie won. No, Noah lost to There Will Be Blood, which was damn good too.
It won.
It won, right?
Yeah,
There Will Be Blood.
It
lost
was the best picture.
Yeah. That is a good one. Which was also good. There Will Be Blood was both of those were great.
That was a great year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have to go with, for me, it's Hudsucker Proxy.
Oh,
I've never seen Hudsucker.
Yeah. It is a perfect film.
It's
a fairy tale.
It's so funny. It's really
good. He invents the hula hoop. He literally walks in there with a circle drawn on a napkin and says, you know, for kids.
That's awesome.
I'm glad you brought that up because for some reason... Tim Robbins is very underused now, and you watch movies like that, and you're like, this dude is so good. You watch Bull Durham. Yeah. Even Howard the Duck. Dude, the movie's terrible, but I laugh my balls off at Tim Robbins.
You know, he's such
a good character, a good actor.
Maybe it's because he is misused now or something, because like, I remember reading press going into Green Lantern, where he was like, I didn't really want to do this, but everybody's doing them, and like da-da-da, and he's great in it. But then the movie's shitty, and then, like, I don't know, maybe he just gets discouraged.
He would have been studios, and
he would have been really good, and I cannot for the life of me remember the actor who played it, but he would have been really good in the senator, the bad senator who's part of Hydra in the Marvel movie.
Oh, Gary Robert
Redford. Oh, yeah.
Gary Shandling, yeah. Like, he would have been,
Shandling.
He doesn't need to replace him, but he would have been good in that
something
role.
Like
that's
that.
The kind
of
thing that would be, work really
which is
he was in The Brink. On the HBO show.
Right.
That show.
They picked up for a second season, then promptly canceled it.
I watched like an episode of that, and he was good in it.
He's great in it.
Yeah.
He's so great in it. It's not the best, but he's really good in it.
I didn't know that show got canceled. I heard about the pickup. I didn't realize it got canceled.
It was fun. Yeah. But Hudsucker Proxy, co-written by Sam Raimi.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of people may not know this, but yeah, the Coen brothers and the Raimi brothers, the lesser known Ivan Raimi, but he does stuff with his brother. They came up together. They came up together, kind of like we're doing ourselves here. So hopefully, you know, we're making stuff like this someday.
I just don't have a brother.
Fun fact, too, because I just looked it up.
You're my brother, Kyle.
I feel like an idiot. Spies Like Us, Coen brothers have bit parts in it, as well as Sam Raimi. So that's why it's listed with
interesting.
So the three of them were in Spies Like Us together.
That was, that was 86. So that was how many years after? When was Evil Dead?
I don't remember.
I want to say 1980.
They were just getting started, though.
Yeah.
Like that was, I think, right after the Coen brothers' first movie.
Yeah.
So who okay. Sidebar.
Sidebar.
Who's the Asian porn star that's in Big Lebowski for like a second? Or like, see, it's not Tia Carrera, like, maybe it was a chick from...
Well, Tia Carrera is not an Asian porn star.
Okay.
She's a legitimate actress.
Oh.
She was Cassandra in Wayne's World.
Yeah, no, because she's a porn star.
No, she's
not. Yeah, she was. Somebody Google it, even though we're on the WorkSafe Wi-Fi. Anyway, we could go into that, but
I don't know how to say she's not a porn star in Cantonese, but if I did, I would.
One time when I was working at Paramount, I was at the cafeteria and they were there, and I worked with this idiot in the mailroom.
Was it you?
No.
Were you looking in a mirror?
And he's like, it's the Coen brothers. I was like, I know. He's like, we've got to talk to him. I was like, well, they're on the phone. They're doing True Grit. And he walked up to them, one of them, interrupted him on his phone call, and I see them talking, and my face is melting. I'm like, this is the worst situation ever. And he comes back, and I'm like, well, what did you say to him? He's like, I told him it was fucking awesome. They put Tia Carrere and Big Lebowski. I'm like, you interrupted a phone call with the Coen brothers to say anything you could, and that's what you went with. What a waste.
Okay, well,
the moral is we have to value the Coen brothers.
I do want to find out if Tia Carrere was a porn star, because as far as I know, she did a movie with. Hold on, let me tell you why I don't believe this.
She was in True Lies.
She did a movie with Dolph Lundgren very early in her career called Last Showdown in Tokyo, which I love that movie. Brandon Lee's in it. It's a really cheesy '80s martial arts movie, but it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Tia Carrere has a nude scene in the movie. However, she used a body double. So if she did porn, why is she using a body double?
Because she didn't do porn.
There you go.
Wait. Nope. Tia Carrere is a former porn star who performed under the name Asia Carrere.
No, Carrere is still a porn star. She still works.
Who are you?
Sorry that I know that. Yes, I know who
porn star is. Are you on Stupidpedia?
No, I was on Wikipedia.
That is.
Hold on. I'm,
she might be related to her. Maybe she's related to her, but Asia Carrere is just a porn star who actually still works.
I must have just conflated them.
Tia Carrere is not.
That's racist. That's racist, dog. That's racist. All right, let's go back to the Coen brothers. I just want to mention two other movies from the Coen brothers that don't get mentioned very often, but they're fantastic movies. One is Miller's Crossing. It's a gangster movie that they wrote.
I always forget about Miller's Crossing.
They definitely wrote it. Let's see if they directed it. Yes, they did. Gabriel Byrne, Albert Finney, John Turturro, Marcia Gay Harden. I don't really know any of these other actors. Oh, Steve Buscemi's in it. Holy crap. Very young. Michael Jeter passed away, but he's a great actor from Green Mile and other movies. He's such a good actor. Character actor. But Miller's Crossing is a gangster movie written by the Coen brothers, directed by the Coen brothers, and it's very a very underrated, underseen gangster flick, and I think more people should see it. And the other one I wanted to mention, Barton Fink with John Goodman and John Turturro.
Talk about one of their weird ones. One is...
It's bizarre.
You have no idea where you left when the movie's over. You're like...
But it's so
did that
so
movie
good.
Even happen? Like, you don't even know. Yeah.
And one I want to revisit, and actually I think they just started, it just got added to Netflix, The Lady Killers with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
I remember not enjoying it that much. When I first saw it, I was like, that was not as good as their other ones. But there's a couple moments there that Tom Hanks does in that weird act. You have a room to let. And it's really like a very, very, very interesting performance by Tom Hanks. And I kind of want to revisit it. Maybe I'll like it more now than I did before. But
they have like a very specific voice in their own movies, but I think what they've done in the just very recently in the past few years is weird. Like, because they wrote Bridge of Spies and they wrote Unbroken too.
Yeah, I just read that. They're
which are both very like earnest, like not subtle.
Yeah.
So it's like they have that in them, but they just don't do that in their own material.
If you watch Bridge of Spies, it doesn't feel like they wrote that movie. It feels like they did a polish on it. Like there are some jokes where you're like, that was the Coen brothers. That was them.
Wait, did they get? Were they the only ones that get credit for that one,
for Burn After Reading? Or not?
Well, the first draft of it was a blacklist script or something.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
dude that was an accountant. And
Matt Sharman.
Yeah,
that's probably it.
All
right.
But also, one more of their movies to mention is Inside Llewyn Davis.
Oh my God! How did I forget about that one?
Right,
the one that introduced me to Oscar Isaac.
Yes,
freaking love
Poe Dameron.
Yeah, first time Poe and Kylo are on screen together.
Mm-hmm. Wait, Adam Driver's in that movie too? Holy crap, he is!
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that. I need to go back and watch that again.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Actually, I'm going to go back. I'm going to start from the beginning, and I'm going to watch every single Coen Brothers movie, all the way back to Crime Wave, which I'm looking on here, which is I think a Sam Raimi directed movie, cheeseball sci-fi movie that I've never seen.
But they
were
a pair of whacked out.
Yeah, they do.
The thing, remember,
absolutely.
They
1985, that movie came out. Yeah. Crime Wave. Sam Raimi directed it. Ethan,
And I would love to see them do a cartoon. I feel like that's the next thing they got.
I agree. Yeah. I think they did do. Oh no, that was Wes Anderson. Never mind.
That's why I thought of it, because Wes Anderson,
the Fantastic Mr. Fox
is just fantastic.
That's a great movie. Yeah. I think because the reason I said that is I think if they do a animated movie, it'll probably be something like that.
Yeah.
We've just ascended into kindergarten.
Absolutely.
All right, so I think that's going to wrap it up. We went over there and filleted the Coen brothers as much as we could because we all love those two gentlemen and are very much looking forward to Hail Caesar. Probably going to see it tonight or tomorrow, sometime this weekend. I'm going to see it this weekend. I know it's Super Bowl weekend, but I'm going to see Hail Caesar this weekend. And I am so excited that a week after I get to see a Coen brothers movie, I get to see Deadpool.
It's pretty
next week.
Pretty incredible.
We will get heavy into Deadpool because Josh Moore had mentioned something that he's not as familiar with the character, but he's excited about the movie because
It's Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah,
it looks and the like marketing is brilliant.
It covers the acting so good. I'm quoting Moorhead. I'm paraphrasing from Moorhead's description. It's looks like a great raunchy comedy as well as a great action comic book movie.
Yeah.
So and folks. Do not take your kids to this movie. I have not seen it yet, but I can promise you, you will walk out 5 minutes into it. Do not take anybody under the age of 13, 14 years old.
Yes. You know how much sales of like chimichangas are going to spike?
Yeah.
They will spike too.
It was the same thing happened with Avengers and shawarma. One weekend, it's just going to be
everybody
like,
went out and ate shawarma.
There's a great shawarma place by my girlfriend's apartment.
I want shawarma now. And chimichanga. Shit.
A little housekeeping really quick before we go. The website sort of officially launched now.
Ooh, hell yeah.
We have content up. Myself, this is Kyle, and the Joshes have put up our top 10 lists, sort of expanded and talking about it. Dan has put up his top 61 list for the year.
And it's going to be added
to. In two posts. Going up about the same time as this is our new top banner that's going to have Deadpool on it. Yes. And we'll have a discussion about February movies with more content to come next week.
Look for those roundtable discussions on our website. They'll be fine. And you can even join into it by mentioning stuff in the comments.
Yes.
Like, we want to hear from you guys, good or bad. Yes. You can shit on us if you want.
Yeah.
So the website's thewaywenerd.com. You probably know this if you're listening. And the Twitter handle is @thewaywenerd.
Yep.
And we're on Facebook is the way we nerd.
On Facebook and
you'll
all.
Get it, you guys.
So come get it. We got everything nerd you could possibly want. And like I said, we love talking to anybody about this stuff, even if they don't agree with us. Like, that's what the fun is. I don't want everybody to agree with us. There's no fun in that.
And especially if you're like a single woman, I'd love to hear from
you. And Josh's number is...
Yes. 818... Actually, that's not it. Don't try to dial that number.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
okay,
that's...
I'm also beeping that out.
There wasn't even enough numbers in there for anything.
Yeah,
anyway,
I know, but
you could have gone with 818-555 at least.
Yeah, standard. That's true. All right. Well, that's going
to
wrap it up for us today because I really do want to go see Hail Caesar, and I might go see it right now. So, this is Daniel Villalobos, and we will see you next time. To my right is...
Kyle Bown.
Josh Moorhead, what? You didn't throw it at me.
Yeah, you went a little quick.
And now it's awkward, and I have to say, hi, I'm Joshua Potter. Bye.
All right, we'll see you next week.